At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Hello and welcome to Funny Mummies, the podcast for people that hate parenting podcasts. I'm Hattie Ashdown, comedian and writer, and I'm blessed with two lively boys. Each show I'm joined by funny mummies from the world of comedy, but also those that are aunties or friends, because let's be honest, we all need the help of our non-tired mates. Join us as we find the funny side of parenting, life, and being bloody great women.
Happy Mother's Day!
So, hi friends, I'm Hattie Ashdown, comedian and mum, and thank you for joining us. How are we all doing out there? Has it been a whirlwind of juggling family work and me time? I hate that saying, but we'll get to that later. And when I say me time, what I mean is pooing alone or trying to eat dinner from a plate, not out of a pan. So I took things into my own hands, and with no money for expensive retreats, I asked some old friends of mine who have not got children, I'm not stupid, can I come and stay please? They said yes. So lots of hot tea, naps, swims, food and adult conversation. After that, I went home to the fold, into the chaos. But hey, today is about chums, pals, buddies, BFFs, friends, whatever you call them. Although I'm going to say a side note now. I once had a friend with benefits, I think they still call it that, that used to say
Universal Credit.
Do they?
Friends of Universal Credit.
That's Gemma Beagley. We'll come to that in a minute. They used to say, his default thing was to say, hello, my friend, to everyone. So if I introduced him, which I didn't introduce him to many people because
that's how he greeted people.
He'd go, all right, my friend, all right, my friend. So then when my housemates used to go, are you seeing my friends? And that was what he became known as. And I didn't see him anymore once he left a condom in my toilet. But that's another story. We hadn't even had sex, so that's why it's more worrying. But how many friends do we need? Who stays the test of time? Are you ever too old to make new friends? What are your friendships before and after parenthood? And who better to discuss this with but the Cagney to my Lacey, the Apple to my Pear, the Monica to my Rachel, or maybe it's Chandler to my Ross. The show you've all been waiting for. It's just me and Gemma Beagley today. Woo! Not because someone called in sick. No.
No.
Not that at all.
This is a well thought out, planned.
Yeah. Show about friendship. Sort of loosely based on friendship. But yes, so, but I think this is what the show everyone's been waiting for. So it's sort of like friendships, yeah. In terms of like whether, not just if you're a listener who isn't a parent, go, oh God, here they go again. But, although we do mainly talk about parenting, but it's about parenting, it's about friendships. Now you're a parent, post and before, but also maybe that's just something that happens as you get older as well. Just, you know, ones that stand the test of time. But I want to go right back, Gemma, to when you were at school. Mm. Was you good at making friends? Or did they, I feel like they just all flocked to you.
Yeah, I mean, was I? I don't remember not having friends, I suppose, at a point. I think there was maybe a period where I was between groups.
Okay.
Yeah, but I do, yeah, I remember having...
What age?
Oh, about 14.
Oh,
14,
really?
15,
okay.
Yeah. But I know I can remember having some real intense friendships as a kid, and you know,
really?
Where it's just there was three of us. There's me and Sarah and Lizzie, aged, say, 13, 14.
Okay.
And just the intensity of the three of us.
Really?
But I loved them.
Like, intensity, I really loved because them. You love them so much.
Because I love them so much. And I just wanted to be with them all the time.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And do you remember how it just happened? You don't remember a moment where it was like, oh, I've got to make friends, I'm in a new class or whatever.
Sarah Poland and I were friends, and she went off to the toilets one day and came back with Lizzie. Found her in the toilets. And yeah.
She's like, she's joining the gang.
She's joining the gang now.
So there was a trio of you.
There was. And funny, threes have been quite a theme for me in my friendship story. And I remember a wise woman saying to me, threes don't work.
Oh, mum's always used to mum used to say that.
Someone will always be left out.
Yeah, but it's rubbish.
Is
it rubbish? I don't know.
I think the thing is that, you know, I'm talking about being a teenager, but, you know, we're grown-ups now.
Yeah. And you're still friends with them?
I'm not actually. I mean, I think, not in a horrible way, just because, you know, we went into different classes and then, you know, you pick up different friends with different interests. You know, one of them, she was sporty and I wasn't, so she went off and did that. Another one of them just didn't, like, she had quite strict parents, and so when it came to staying out late and all that, but, you know, sort of, so it's just life stuff happened, you know. But I'm so fond of that time.
Oh.
Yeah.
You see, I don't know, because you always say, oh, I'm seeing this friend, and I've seen pictures on Facebook, not that I'm stalking you as a friend. And you always, I think, this is my, and I can't believe I haven't even talked to you about this before. Mm. You come across to me someone who's got, like, real old friends, and they've been from the beginning, and they're still with you.
Yeah, I've got, there's a group of seven of us that used to go to school together. We weren't actually particularly friendly close at school, but we dined together. The girls I dine with, is I call them. We were an eight, but one dropped out. Mm. And it's really inconvenient, actually, because trying to cater for seven rather than eight is quite tricky, actually. So it's quite selfish of her to drop out of the group for numeracy purposes.
Can we ask why she just dropped out of the group? No, you don't.
No, I don't know. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I didn't really care. She wasn't one of the close ones.
Right, she's drifted away.
She just drifted away, yeah. No, she didn't drift away. She made a conscious decision not to. I think she thought we were all bitches. And she would be right, frankly.
So, that's interesting because I was completely different. But, see, I always had a lot of male friends. And I still do.
Yeah.
But I've made more female friends since getting into the arts, I guess, because I found girls really bitchy when I was young. And I think my first experiences with girls when I was at school, like infants at school, was picking on me. So it was like, well, I don't think I'll be friends with them. And it just felt like boys didn't take things as seriously.
But I find that really interesting. You said that you've made more female friends since getting into the arts.
Yeah.
Because, especially in stand-up, when we started anyway, that there was so many more men doing it than women. So I found it was the opposite, actually. It was that all my friends from stand-up were men.
Yeah.
And there were hardly any women.
Oh, well, at the very beginning. And did you experience, I don't know if we have talked about this before, but when I first started gigging, a million times ago, when I used to go to a gig on a horse and cart, and you would be the cliche, the only girl on the bill, which does still happen, unfortunately. And so that was fine. I remember doing my first bill when it was another girl and going, I think it was Susie Ruffle, and going, oh, you can have. And then we just made this thing of like, oh, let's all go for a drink. And it was just such an amazing feeling of like, oh, we can all be friends. Because I will be honest, there was a little bit of competitiveness, but that was only brought on from other people, if you know what I mean, other pressures.
Yeah, because if you are used to there only being one woman on the bill,
yeah,
then you want to be that woman, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, you will have that competition.
Yeah.
That is thrust upon you.
Yeah.
By the industry. But but at the same time, you know, for me, in the stand-up bit, you know, so I don't do it anymore, but I've kept in contact with you, for example, is that then since becoming a mum, in those circles that is actually I've made contact then again with other mums who are doing stand up and in comedy and it's a different kind of friendship.
Yeah.
It's not really, and then it's not about stand up.
No.
It's about something different.
I mean, that's how this show came about, yeah. Because I used to just do the other woman's show, and I just have wonderful, funny mums, funny women on, and then it was becoming that, yeah, you just do gravitate to other people that are parent because you're all sharing the same problems and woes and stuff.
Yeah, and I mean, there was a time when I started stand up, I hardly saw my proper friends, you know,
okay.
I hardly saw them because I was in this, you know, this whirlwind of just gigging all the time. And if I wasn't gigging, I was thinking about gigging. And I must have been a bloody nightmare. And so actually.
And did they support you though? Obviously, they come to gigs.
Yeah,
did they?
Yeah, I mean, you know, came a couple of times, but it's all a bit samey and boring, isn't it?
Yeah.
The new act bit. But actually, and I'd go out for dinner with them and I wasn't there. I wasn't present. And so it's really...
Because you're thinking about the gig.
Exactly, because that's what was going on for me. And then I guess becoming a new mum, and that's what's so great about, I think, about antenatal and NCT and all that sort of stuff,
yeah.
is that you are, you know, this is what's going on for me. And we've spoken about this on the show before.
Yeah,
about
we have.
What's going on for
we
you.
We have talked a little bit about sort of mum friends and stuff a bit. Not completely, not a whole show about it. But, I mean, that's my problem, though, and maybe I have talked about this before, is that, for me, the idea of mum friends, it's... It's lovely, obviously, when I say mum friends, it's somebody you've met maybe at a playgroup or through NCT or whatever, but I don't like just talking about blimmin' kids. Like this Friday, I've got the mums in my oldest school year on the WhatsApp group. One of them instigated, let's have a drinks. Mm. And so it'd be nice, but I know they're just going to talk about the kids and that all time.
Not necessarily.
You don't think?
No, go in with an open mind.
Do you think I should try and steer it round?
Yeah.
Be that person that goes, hey, mums, who gets time to wank anymore? And then kill the
Maybe
room.
Take your coat off first.
Oh, you think?
Yeah.
No, I just remember an NCT mum did that. She didn't say those exact words, but when we all went out for a drink without the babies, like the first time, and she got quite drunk. She said something about masturbating. It was a bit like, whoa, Alexa, we did not think you were going to say that. Yes,
oh,
her name
Alexa.
Is Alexa. I feel like, oh, my music's playing
well,
on. What?
On that subject, probably put one of my songs on.
Shall I? Funny that, isn't it? Why did you choose this song, Gemma?
Well... I was thinking about masturbating at the time.
And thought, I'm too fucking tired.
Exactly, too tired and just too busy.
Yeah.
So that's what made me think. No, I love this song. It's a great song.
Isn't it? I was confused this with the one that Sam Fox did.
Oh, right, no, it's a different song.
It's a different song?
It's a different song.
I thought I knew my bloody music. You're listening to Funny Mummies on Soho Radio for The Other Woman Show. Please introduce the track, Gemma.
It's The Divinals, I Touch Myself.
I love myself. Oh, I don't know about you, but I needed a bit of that. A bit of 1991 touching yourself. You're listening to the Funny Mummies on Soho Radio for The Other Woman Show. And it's just me and Gemma Beagley today.
Just the two of us.
And we're having a great bloody time. We're talking about friendships. Just friendships in general, but friendships, but we're going to sort of rounding it up, I think, to friendships of pre and post child and whether really does it make any difference. And I think it does massively. My problem is that I moved away I moved away from a lot of my friends that I had before I had children, and so that's why I've been like a desperate bee. Will you be my friend? But But annoyingly, sometimes I just go, oh, I don't want to make new friends. I've got loads and they've got kids as well. But I would say, going backtracking a bit, I don't want it to be a bit of a, oh, poor little Hattie at school. I wasn't, in my friend story, I wasn't very good at making friends. I don't know. Maybe someone on the outside would go, yes, she was. I think I used to fleet, and I think I was worried of getting hurt, so I'd sort of fleet a bit. I think the school was a big shock for me because my mum wrapped me in cotton wool, and I thought everyone would just love me. So it was that typical thing, and then they don't, because you remember infants and junior school, you're friends for like a week, and then they go off, and you go, what? I thought you were my friend. No, I'm friends with Julie now. Just why? Oh, fuck, because Julie. She's got a big rubber collection, you know.
Oh, she doesn't leave it in your toilet.
I'm talking about erasers. So, you know, so it'd be quite fleeting. And that's why I meant, like, I don't think I made really good friends maybe until I got to university. But talking about friendships in threes, I had two friends that lived on my block. On my block. Where the fuck do I think I grew up? On Crescent, mate. And so my mum used to go, oh dear, there's the three of you, so that's going to be a problem. And sometimes it was, I'd be honest, like I'd see Jackie and Claire playing out on the green and they had knocked my door. We just go through phases, don't you? It was like me and Claire were into playing with dolls, and Jackie was a real tomboy. So sometimes we'd play bikes or whatever. But I think that then, you know, saying about growing apart, then when basically for me, I think it was when the hormones start coming along. And Jackie, although she'd always been a tomboy, she got into the boys, and I wasn't ready. Right. So she went off with an older friend.
Yeah, yeah. So she could go and snog boys.
Scouting for boys.
Sure.
And I wasn't ready.
Yeah.
I was still a bit, I was, might surprise you, Gem, I was a bit of a boffin. I just wanted to study.
Study what?
The works of Shakespeare. Well, I just got into drama college, right. And before that I didn't want to study anything. I failed pretty much all my GCSEs, but then I got to college and was like, oh, this is something I enjoy. So then I felt really behind and stayed in and wanted to, you know, I loved all that.
Yeah.
And then Claire, I don't know what happened to her, she just went off to
Claire get in touch
Claire no over the years on Facebook she has
yeah
but Claire was one I've talked about before. Her mum was always on a diet. Right. So you'd go around there and it'd be crap snacks, you know. So there's a guy looking at the window and it's really, he's like looking at me like he's a long lost love.
Yeah, he is a bit. Is he a long lost love?
For those that don't know, we do, obviously, we record. Well, I say those that don't know, those that have downloaded this on podcast, we recorded it in Soho. So, of course, earlier, we had a guy come in and ask us where he could get sex. So that was fun.
But we couldn't really understand what he was saying, so we had to say it four times.
So the podcast had to say sex, three times.
Yeah.
Anyway, I digress.
So, I mean, he is wearing a Mac.
This guy,
it's classic 80s flasher, isn't it?
Really, I think he's
putting off to stroke. Go on.
I'm someone famous, that's why. And he'd be right. What do I want to? So I've now got. So let's talk about how many friends people need.
Yeah,
you know, like. Not that there's. We're not saying, listeners, this is a set number. If you've got any more than this, get rid of them. We're not saying that.
Cutbacks.
But I think it is harder. So now mine are all, you do have to put the work in, I think, as you get older. And I guess a friend of mine wrote a song called Cut Down on Your Friends. And I should have played that, but he's a man and we can't blame him. And I think that you do sort of cut down a bit because it's, and that's one thing I would say, I guess, about having kids is that you do sort of cut down a bit. And you have to sort of eliminate people.
Yeah, I mean, I found
that might bring stress to your life as well.
Yeah, or it's just, I remember when Alistair was a newborn baby, maybe 6-7 weeks old, and two guys guy, friends of mine who I knew from stand-up. I went and I met them, and, you know, and I was breastfeeding at the time. I brought the baby with me, and then it's just like, right, they want to go out on the piss.
Right.
I can't do that right now, and probably won't for years, you know. But it's just like, well, that's just, again, it's that thing. I mean, we always seem to come back to this every show. It's just how it is for now.
Yeah.
And what's my point? So my point is that...
How friendships have changed since having a child.
Yeah, but so I do not see those guys as much as I did before I had Alistair.
But you haven't had anyone that's blatantly gone, you know, like, it's just really difficult to hang out with you now you've got a kid.
No.
Not said that, but like...
No, no, I don't
You've had that feeling.
So. No, I don't think so. There's one friend of mine who we were... he's a guy that I've been friends with since primary school, gay guy. And he lives in LA now, so there's distance. But I see him maybe once every 6 months, once a year when he's here. He met Alistair for the first time. Mm. Christmas just gone. Alistair's five. Mm. He's never asked me how Alistair is or anything like that, but I'm not offended by that because it's just our friendship transcends the fact that I'm a mum.
Mm.
And I was saying to you earlier that actually I can't think of any new mum friends that I've made, any new friends that I've made that are mums since I've become a mum.
Yes.
Which I'm like, oh shit. God, I've got no new mum friends. Which is weird. I've got loads of mum friends. I think it's just because I have brought these friends into my motherhood. Yeah.
But you don't. Your seven friends are some of them parents. Then
they all are. Yeah.
Oh, they all are.
All are.
So
yeah,
you haven't needed to.
No, and I just.
And maybe you will, because Alice has just started a new school. So maybe you. I mean, this is what my agent. I don't know why I'm dropping her name. She said to me, oh, you'll make friends. And that was the thing. She said, you'll make friends when you start school. And I think that's why I was like an eager beaver, like school gates. They don't want to know me.
Little meerkat.
Because I'm too desperate. But just to rewind, because just maybe think of something. When some people, the other way around, when they have a baby and then their friends come round and you got the baby strapped to you in front of you and they go, oh, and it's all like, almost talk to the baby and not you, because there's that complaint, isn't there? Some people are like, I don't want you to come around and just be all about the baby. I want you to talk to me. And I'll tell you who's very good at that, who would have been on the show today, is Leela. I remember to both sides of the coin. I remember when she first had her baby and I went round there and I hadn't had any kids then. And I remember afterward going, my God, for somebody who's just had a baby, she didn't go on about, she just asked me loads of questions, how it was, because she's so like lovely that. But she didn't go on and on about any breastfeeding woes or anything like that. And again, when I had, you know, my first baby, she's not going on and on about the baby. She's just asking me how I am and also just talking about, sometimes you just want to talk about something else. I say
You say, I mean, you say that a lot, and I'm just thinking about our relationship.
Right. I was going to get onto that,
We do talk about the kids a lot.
Do we too much?
But no, it doesn't feel like, I don't like roll, I'm not going to tell you if I did, but I don't roll my eyes. I don't sort of go, oh, here she goes again, going on about, like, I don't. And I think what's happened with us, a bit weird, talking about like this.
Yeah, but in the third person.
Exactly. And other people are maybe hopefully listening. Is that actually, I think, because you reached out to me when you were pregnant with Hux, because I just had Alistair. And so we, you know, we then caught up. And actually what's happened is that then we've almost, I feel like we've backtracked. So I've heard your backstory before you became a mum. And sort of caught up in a way. Do you know what I mean? And so it's, I don't know what I'm getting at, really, that I think I don't feel like I get annoyed like you seem to, or frustrated that people would talk about their kids all the time. I don't know. Maybe.
Oh, no, I don't get frustrated.
You know what? I think I'm very good at just switching off. I think that's it. I've got to be honest with you.
No,
I just go, oh,
I want to hear about people's kids. And I want to, you know, and obviously I'm just saying that I think you can just get into a bit of a role of like, you know, oh, they're doing this homework and all that. And I'm just saying it's nice to, I just, like Friday, I really want to find out about some of them and they do. But some people don't want to. They just want to talk about... Yeah. They like that armour and just talk about the kids, and that's fine.
But, but then you're not... I don't think that you would then become particularly good friends with that person. Because you're not going to have a connection
true.
Like you would do with someone who is a laugh. Like, if someone hasn't got a sense of humour, which is very rare, by the way, then I don't think you're going to connect with that person. So why would you become friends?
Oh, I kind of think...
Do you know what I mean?
One of the mums at a soft play party... What was it? I made a joke and I can't remember what it was. Well, I can't remember. And she just probably, because it wasn't that funny, and she just went, oh, right. Like, just took it seriously. And I was like...
That's not the reaction.
And you're like, no, it was a joke. And I thought, oh, crikey. But no, I think it's interesting because I was going to say, like how we our friendship developed is like any friendship. It's interesting. And we did stand up together. You came to my show in Edinburgh. To different shows. And then, I think I was sort of... There probably was a bit of that reaching out, thinking, well, okay, I've got some NCT friends, but I want people that are like-minded as well,
exactly.
Are mum friends. And I remember coming for that coffee.
Yeah.
And and then it just... That's it.
Yeah.
Took
off. And exactly. And the rest is history. You're listening to the upshot of it.
I thought, but she's quite funny.
Yeah, but I think that I don't know. I think that the thing is that you all... I think because our time is limited, because we are mums and we work and all that sort of stuff, is that I feel that I'm not going to put a lot of effort into trying to make connections with people where it's not easy.
Oh God!
I just do you know what? I have a lot of friends. I don't have a lot of best friends, by the way. You know, those seven that I dine with.
Right.
I'd only count two of them as... At my wedding, I had three friends.
Right.
And one couldn't make it because she lives in Australia.
You had a very small wedding.
My four best friends.
And we
looked earlier and on average in Britain, people have between three and five best friends.
Okay.
I've got four.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and I always find it interesting because I feel uncomfortable saying the word best friends.
Yeah.
So what counts as a... Because I guess it comes... It's like some wound from when I was a junior, maybe, of like saying, you're better than all the rest. I think I use the term longest friend more than...
So I had some news yesterday, some good news yesterday, and it was the people that I wanted to tell that news to. You know, and it's those, and those ones, I suppose, that I can count on.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What makes a good friend to you, Gemma? What do they have to do to be your friend?
There has to be an element of humour there. There just has to be. It's so important to me. It really is important to me. I think it's just the way that I feel when I'm with them. You know, I feel comfortable, where I feel like myself. I feel that it's okay to sit in silence.
Yeah.
You know, even. It's just... I think it's just that it's that ease. It's that ease and comfort, you know. And I had a sleepover with one of my best mates the other day, and I see her maybe once every 3 months or something. She lives far away. I live far away, apparently. And we're like, so...
Oh God, I have.
I just love being in her
sleepover.
Company.
I love that you still call it sleepover.
Yeah, well, it is. You know, we slept over, but you know. What about you? What do you think? What for you makes a good friend? A good friendship.
Don't know. I mean, humour, but this is going to sound really selfish now, but it's not that they've got to be hilarious, but they've got to
find you,
get me.
Sure.
I just immediately thought of some of my good friends, and I thought some of them aren't, you know, they're not wet weekends, but they're not like in their own right hilarious. And I wouldn't say I particularly find them funny. I just find them really kind and warm and lovely. And yeah. And I think, for me, it's that classic of you have different friends for different needs. That sounds selfish, but is just what happens, isn't it?
So I don't drink.
Yeah.
And so I suppose that has affected my friendships over the years, whereby you know, if I'm connect, you know, when I drank, I could connect with people really fucking easily.
Right.
You know, I could connect with many people a week. And but because I don't have that anymore. So, for example, if you wanted to go out on the piss, Hattie,
yes,
you're not going to call on me. Do you know
that's
what I mean?
True.
It's that thing for different things, right?
Yeah.
You know.
That's a whole bloody other podcast, isn't it? Mm. Just
or if you wanted to go to a gig, you're not going to call on a best mate because they're not that into music.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And so
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I guess just, you know, the classics of like being loyal and and just like you say, it's just a chemistry thing, isn't it?
It is
you
chemistry,
can't
yeah.
I sort of enjoy, and I think it comes from school. Do you know when you have that thing you can just look at them across the classroom?
Yeah.
I know I could do it with you.
Yeah.
I could look at you across the classroom, not even have to say anything.
Exactly.
Because Mr. McVicker, whatever his name is, has done something funny, and we both know it's funny.
Right. Exactly. And that's chemistry and that's connection. And I think back to Sex and the City, which I know isn't for everybody, but about their friendship. And there's this episode where they're talking about, Charlotte's talking about where's my soulmate, where is he? Or it might be Carrie, I don't know. But and one of them says, why can't we be each other's soulmates?
Yes.
And you go, well, actually, through that series, how much you like or dislike the four of them, you know, that it's about their friendship and about coming and going, and some of them are closer than others and tolerate, you know, and it is a soulmate thing.
Well, I agree with you, and I think that's another thing as you get older. I think it's another topic, but in our partner, our romantic partner, we look for everything, and I think as I've got older you realize that actually he doesn't have to have everything.
Yeah.
And what I get, like, maybe I'm more of a soulmate with a girlfriend.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
I'm not saying I am, if my husband's listening. I mean, I hate this sort of saying soulmate anyway. But I know his best friend.
Yeah.
We've got two best friends. But one particular, I do always say, if you was a woman, you definitely would be married to him.
Mm.
I mean, I know they have something that I don't think we'd ever have. They do just have a connection. I could get jealous, but I'm too exhausted.
My mum... my dad died 8 years ago, and my mum's best friend, a woman that used to come to my house every Sunday for about 30 years, more than that probably, she died a couple of years ago. Me and my siblings were more devastated for my mum that her best friend had died than the husband and the father of her children. Well, I can't speak for them, but it was like, oh, this is just this is absolutely
really?
Awful. Yeah, absolutely awful. Because it's different.
They were very close friends, and
she was was just, you know, and you know, we were all four of us sobbing at that woman's funeral as if they were romantic partners.
Oh.
You know, yeah,
that's beautiful.
Yeah. And my mum doesn't have that many sort of best friends either,
really. Do you think this will change? Because my mum had a few... she was very close to her sisters, so they were her friends. But she did have... she was just talking about Kath Lusher. That was her name. And she was like her best... She was her best friend, I would say. And then she had Joan, who, funny enough, was a mum friend. She met... because her daughter was same age as me, playgroup, and they remained friends. But I remember thinking, oh God, she doesn't see her anymore. And do you think it will be, I think it's, a lot of it is now we have social media and stuff like that. I think that is one good side of social media and, you know, mobile phones, I guess, because even my mum didn't even, for those that don't know, died a couple of years ago. She didn't even have a mobile phone. Oh, she did, but classic, didn't turn it on.
Yeah, sure, yeah. It's in a drawer somewhere.
It's in a drawer. I don't want to air the battery out. So what I mean is, like, yeah, I just think, like, hopefully there won't be so many lonely old people because, well, maybe there will. I don't know.
Yeah, but, yeah, I know
you know what?
I do know what you mean, yeah. Is that we can be connected.
Maintain friends better,
sorry. Even if superficially, we can be connected, yeah. Yeah, I was reading about the how many. I actually googled how many friends do people have.
Yeah.
So in the UK, the average is on social media 540 friends, but true close friends is yeah, between 3 and 5. And the lowest in Europe, apparently, the UK.
Yeah, that, what's that say?
Well, you know.
But you don't want any more than that. It's too much to maintain. Exactly. Again, if I didn't have kids, maybe I would. But I've never been out in a big gang sort of person.
I mean, I would argue, and I do dine with the 7, but it's just, you know, we do dine if some of us can't make it, and, you know, and we have our own relationships within that group.
Oh, do you? Yeah.
But I would question, what are you not able to satisfy yourself if you have that many deep friendships? It's like, what, there's something,
yeah,
what are you're asking other people to fill holes in yourself.
Yeah, I think there's a bit of that when people are feeling like they need to have loads of friends.
Yeah, they can't sit with themselves or whatever, you know.
But I'm just trying to think if I've only really had one person that I think may have had a bit of a problem since I've had children.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They've never said it, but
you just feel it.
They've drifted away.
Right.
I think there was other factors, but I think that was one of them, I think. And but other than that, you know, because that person hasn't got any children and hasn't got a partner. But I'm not, I don't know, this is what other friends have said. They think it's because of that. But no, most of my friends say have got kids. Mm. And those that haven't, I love them. I mean, one came around, there's not many actually, who came around the other night for dinner, and I love it. I go, please just tell me all about your exciting life. She's gone all polyamorous. It's all, you know, it's so much more exciting than my life.
Well, you can fuck anyone, can't you?
Yeah. Brilliant. And on that note, let's... Now, we haven't got much longer. Well, we've chatted for England anyway. Who needs a third person? Now, I was going to put... I feel like... Let's have a bit of this song. It's another one of your choices. Because
I'm glad I picked Multi.
And I think it's very connected because the last thing you want is a friend that sort of lingers around, really. We don't want...
What I would say about this before you put it on is that my friends Sarah and Lizzie, this was out when we were like... becoming friends and palling around together, and it just brings back makes me feel so warm inside.
Does it?
The three of us all palling around South London together and getting on buses and cut down hot pants and all that. Oh. Yeah, 94, it's a wonderful time.
I'm there. Okay, you're listening to the Funny Mummies on Soho Radio for the Other Woman Show. This is a bit of Linger. Enough, do you think, about a mum friend? I wanted to, big shout out to my lovely friend Claire. She's, in case she's listening, because she's one of my loyal listeners, and she might be going, oi, I'm your mum friend. But it's because I don't think of her as just a mum friend now. She's in the official fold. She got invited to my birthday last year, so she's been promoted.
Yeah, transcends, yeah.
But that is because we've got, not just because she's a lovely, warm person. She really looked after me because I met her when I was pregnant with number 2 and I had quite a tough pregnancy, and she just really looked after me, bless her. And she's that sort of person. But we do have same sense of humour and similar, you know, interests.
I think you can sort of apply it to anything, like work as well, right? So, you know, you're sat in an office, you know, with these, again, you know, 8 hours a day, 9 hours a day, intense relationships.
Yeah.
And then they leave and you go, yeah, keep in touch. And you don't. Because actually what our connection is about what goes on in that office. But sometimes you do keep in touch, you know, it's that chemistry and connection, and whether it can transcend the context. Basically, You're friends or you ain't, all right? That's it. Yeah. Don't try and force it.
Yeah, I've had a few that I've had to go, oh, this is just...
Oh, have you? Ending friendships.
Toxic. No. Not toxic. And people that you feel like you're keeping on because you've known them from, say, about 15, and you've gone through lots of different things, and it's not so much that you don't love them anymore. I still love this person in a certain way, but they just become quite hard work.
Yeah.
And then you get to the point where you're like, you know, like you say, the phone... And they come up on your phone, your heart sinks a bit because you just know it's going to be hard work.
Yeah.
And so you just sort of drift.
Yeah.
But then that's, you know, and that's hard because...
It's ghosting. Essentially, you're ghosting your friend. One is ghosting one's friend.
Ghosting's like when you just don't get back to people, which you know I've had from a cleaner and from
a
childminder.
Sorry. I know that upsets you.
With this person, it was like... We keep trying to make arrangements to meet up, and I just felt like I was always trying to do the arranging, and then you just think, well, why, you know? And yeah. Then it was, she was always just making it so difficult, and I thought, does she not, am I maybe do her a favor? You know, but anyway, so I think it is a bit of a relief sometimes for some people, but you haven't had to do that. You haven't had to
I tried to cut a friend loose quite a while ago, actually. She was a nightmare. She wasn't, I don't think she was a very good friend. She wasn't open to any kind of feedback or criticism. She was grouchy. I actually tried to dump her a couple of times, and she almost someone laughing in the background there. But she almost kind of almost, it's like she got off on it a bit, really, and you know, then there'd be a grand gesture. I mean, it's quite narcissistic, actually, to do that. But. And
so when you say you tried to, because I've been dumped by a friend,
right?
Sent me a letter.
No, I actually sat her down and said, look, you know, it's really hard work being friends with you. It's really hard work, and this is why.
Wow.
You know, and it was hard, but it didn't work. But then I think that was more to do with her than it was to me. Trying to be kind with it, you know.
So in that conversation, was you trying to get rid of it, or was you trying to make it better?
Well, no, I tried a few times to say, look, if this keeps happening, I just can't be friends with you. I can't give any more time or energy to because you bite my head off if I suggest that you're, you know, that you're overreacting or that you're being judgmental or, you know, that sort of stuff. You know, and that's the thing, is I need to be able to be honest with a friend, right?
Yeah.
Because if I can't be honest, then I'm not being myself.
But do you think, I think I have got friends that I'm maybe not 100% honest with. And I don't, not lying, but I just, they're not the sort of person that can take certain things. Do you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I mean, if you're willing to... You know, to
be honest,
to maintain,
I'm actually
that
saying
fine,
that.
But
I can't
just
think
me,
of
can't.
Anyone. Yeah. Actually, now everyone's can take it.
Yeah.
Not that I'm, you know. Oh, God, yeah, I got... Oh, stop talking about it. It's quite depressing. I got... Yeah, but it was just so mad. She was like, yeah, just sent me a letter. I mean, I'm going back when I was like maybe 19, 20. And it was just like, yeah, I don't think I'll be friends with you. You're quite controlling, all this sort of stuff. And, you know, I've had that a few times in my life.
Have you?
Yeah. And I think, weirdly, it's when I attract, I've gone through this with my therapist, I attract people that are a bit woohoo, and then because they think I'm going to sort them out in some way. And then I'm the person they're on the phone call with.
Yeah.
All night long, because they've got bothers with boys or whatever, and then they decide they're feeling a bit better, or maybe something else dramatic happens in their life. And they go, oh, "What should I do? I'll get rid of Hattie." So, I think,
yeah.
Oh God, I'm really not selling myself. I'm a really good friend, but I'm too good, Gemma.
It's a too good, yeah.
Anyway,
I mean, it's
I'm losing focus.
Unachievable friendship.
Well, I think that I've attracted. Quite a needy people is what I'm trying to say. I have done.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I try to fix them.
Right.
But that's one thing I've learned.
And
now
you can't fix people.
And I don't try to... I don't try to fix people. That was a big, big life lesson, isn't it? To learn that, I think.
Yeah.
You can't.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've got to finish up.
Right.
Like, we've got about 4 or 5 minutes.
What's your aspirations for future friendships?
Oh, good question.
Like, do you look at, say, like, it's silly, but like the Golden Girls and think, oh, that looks fun. I'd love that, for that to be my life when I'm in my 70s.
What, all just living together?
Well, just, you know, this gal pals, you know.
I think, yeah, I went to visit my auntie who's in a home, and like, she's got a big old social calendar because different people come visit her. She was really into the church.
Mm.
So she got a lot of church people. She fostered lots of children when she was younger. So they're all grown up now. Now they're bringing their kids and stuff. So, you know, but it made me think, oh, but you're here like at night. You might just want to watch telly with someone. And, or, you know, and I just thought, yeah, it'd be nice if you could just, if your other half isn't around, just to all live together.
What we didn't talk about actually is friendships when you're in a romantic relationship. You know, that's something that's a, Well, you know, I know that in my relationship, my romantic relationship, that I had to, I chose to shed certainly some male friends.
Oh,
you know,
because your partner had problem with
because
it.
Because he had a problem with it, yeah. Oh, you know, and actually some gal pals, really? As well, yeah, yeah. And because he was just jealous. And so, and you know, now that I'm out of that.
Yeah.
You know, you're actually reconnecting with those guys and girls again. You know,
I think you can reconnect with
people. Oh, yeah,
people.
Of course you can.
And actually in my notes, I put, can you make friends as you get older? And I think actually, even though people go, I'm too old now, I think it's like really sad if you go, I'm too old to make new friends.
Yeah.
I think that... I think embrace it, like everything in life. You never know. Like probably when my kids are older and I'm in a different stage of my life, I might meet somebody that I want to, some older friend that we just go swimming with once a week and then we have a nice coffee afterward. And that's our friendship. Do you know what I mean? And I think, yeah, why don't you shut yourself off? I mean, yeah, I don't want to go out and mate low because I haven't got the time or energy. But I think just be open, people.
Just be open.
On that note, don't forget to be open. And buy a bloody ticket to our live show. We have sold the grand total, Gemma. 7 tickets.
Oh my God, that's like quadruple.
I forgot to tell you the news.
Since I last spoke to
you. We sold about 7 tickets. And so, to our live show, 1st of March at the Bedford in Balham. Please get tickets. It's going to be me, Gemma, and Margaret Caborn Smith. She's been on Motherland. She's been on Miranda. She's been on lots of things. She's bloody funny. We're going to talk about lots of great things. This was a weird one to end on, but this is what I've got lined up. So anyway, thank you, Gemma. I've really enjoyed today. I feel like it was like, I don't know, just like a chat.
It was a chat.
Yeah.
It wasn't, yeah, just
please
was.
Download and subscribe and tell your friends, because we'd like to do more of these, and that's the only way we can. Thanks for listening. Please buy tickets via screamwithlaughter.com for tickets to our live show. We'd love to see you there. It's Troopers Chips. Take care of yourselves and hang out with friends. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Funny Mummies podcast with me, Hattie Ashdown, in association with Screaming With Laughter for the Other Woman radio show on Soho Radio. Thanks to all my guests and panel today, and edited and produced by Charlotte Kingston. We'll be back every month for another dose of Mum and Tonic.
Happy Mother's Day!
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step 1. Go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step 2. Collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step 3. Play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games. All for free?
Step 4. Unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.